السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
أشهد أن سيدنا
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, the great Imam Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali رحمه الله تعالى mentions in his work لطائف المعارف that it was the practice of the early generations of the Muslims from the eras of the Sahaba and the second generation and third generation that they would pray fervently for 6 months before Ramadan, asking Allah Ta'ala to keep them alive and allow them to reach the month of Ramadan. And after the month of Ramadan, they would spend the next 6 months fervently making dua, asking Allah Ta'ala to accept from them their fasting and worship in the month of Ramadan. And so now we are here, 2 days after Eid al-Fitr, the celebration of breaking the fast. And we praise and thank Allah Ta'ala first and foremost for blessing us with Islam and Iman, and for being from the nation of the Messenger of Allah, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we praise and thank Allah Ta'ala for the blessing of reaching Ramadan this year. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us of those who are grateful for what He has given us in the month of Ramadan, and to accept from us our fasting, our prayer, our recitation of the Quran, our remembrance of Him, our charity, our reflection, and any other act of worship that Allah Ta'ala gifted us in the month of Ramadan. May Allah accept from you and us and all of the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and forgive all of us for our shortcomings, our lapses, our sins. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We are 2 days out from celebrating Eid al-Fitr. In our celebration of Eid, as we stated in the Eid khutbah, is not a celebration of returning to food and drink, but rather it is a celebration of Allah's gifts, generous gifts from a generous Lord. Ramadan was a great teacher from whom we hopefully benefited and learned about ourselves. The ultimate objective of Ramadan is kharqul awa'id, as the scholars say, breaking our bad habits, breaking our norms, and being taken outside of our comfort zones. Ramadan was about training ourselves. Ramadan was about cultivating a higher standard of behavior. Ramadan was about abstaining from food and drink, abstaining from the halal to better abstain from the haram. And Ramadan, as a teacher, taught us that it is possible, with success from Allah Ta'ala and discipline, to do more, to be more, and to truly develop ourselves. Why did we fast in the month of Ramadan, dear brothers and sisters? We fasted the month of Ramadan because Allah Ta'ala ordered us to fast. And the objective of fasting, as you all know, is to cultivate the quality of taqwa, as Allah Ta'ala mentions, that fasting was prescribed upon those before you and you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps you may develop taqwa, mindfulness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Taqwa, mindfulness of Allah Ta'ala, the fear of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, this word taqwa comes from the word wiqaya. Wiqaya is to shield and protect yourself. So to develop taqwa, to exercise taqwa, is to train in using a spiritual shield. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described fasting as such when he said, As-siyamu junnah, the fasting is a shield. So imagine, if you will, a faris, a warrior, a knight in training. What does he have in his training? The knight in training has a sword, he has armor, and he has a shield. He trains in his swordsmanship, and he also trains in strengthening his body, as well as wielding the shield. It's not enough for a knight or a warrior to be a good swordsman. The swordsman also has to train himself with the shield in order to protect himself, to guard against the blows of the enemies. If a knight or warrior has a good offense but no defense, he will succumb to his wounds. He will fall in battle. That is the reality of the knight or the warrior. And likewise, the knight who carries the shield of taqwa uses it to protect himself from the attacks that come from all sides. Because we have spiritual enemies, we have foes coming at us from all sides. Sins, transgressions, shaitan, the lower world, the dunya, the haram, haram desires, distractions, false ideologies, you name it. We have many foes and many enemies. And these spiritual enemies require not just an offense, but they also require a defense. We have to understand that that is the purpose of fasting. And therefore, it should carry over outside of Ramadan. Our fasting in the month of Ramadan was to strengthen ourselves in carrying the shield of taqwa. Now, taqwa, as the ulama tell us, has many levels, many darajat. And so we develop our taqwa in Ramadan, no matter where we are in our spiritual journey. The basic, most basic level of taqwa, dear brothers and sisters, is the taqwa by which you secure your own iman, where you secure your faith. And that means to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. Who is Allah? Who is Sayyiduna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What do I believe about Allah jalla wa ala? What makes me as a Muslim different from others? Is Islam just a cultural identity? What if I was born into another family? Is my Islam only an accident of birth? Where if I was born into a Christian family, I would be a Christian. If I was born into a Jewish family, I would be a Jew. If I was born into a Buddhist family, I would be a Buddhist. Why am I a Muslim? What makes me different? That is securing iman, the most basic level of taqwa. Would I be a Muslim and practice this religion if I was outside of the Muslim community? Would I search for truth and ask Allah for guidance? That is the most basic level of taqwa, securing iman and knowing who our Lord is, who our Prophet is, and what is our purpose of existence. Every single Muslim, dear brothers and sisters, has to come to this place in their life, young or old, where they make a conscious decision that this is what I believe. I believe this about my Creator with insight. And this is how I choose to live my life. As Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Say, this is my path. I call to Allah with insight. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Myself as well as those who follow me. They call to Allah with insight. This is how I choose to live my life, with insight. I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect, but I know what truth is. And I embrace truth, even if I fall short in living by that truth. And we never tire of repeating this, because a person must know the why behind the fasting and not just the what of fasting. Why do we fast? Why do we pray? Why do we do anything at all? It is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be an abd, a servant of Allah ta'ala. And that assumes that we know our purpose of existence. That is the lowest level of taqwa, knowing Allah jalla wa ala. Beyond that level of taqwa, dear brothers and sisters, is the taqwa of actively shielding ourselves from the haram. Because the reality is, sin is like a bottomless pit. If you live long enough in this world, you will encounter people who have lost it all due to sins, due to disobedience, due to transgressions and addictions. and they've all been taken down, either due to lust or greed or wrath or sloth. In one of the most famous poems written in the history of Islam, a poem in praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, known as Qasidatul Burda, the great Imam Sharafuddin al-Busiri mentions something about the nature of the ego, the nature of the lower self. And he says, do not try to prevent or remove haram desires by satisfying them. Inna ta'ama yuqawwi shahwata nahimi, because food only increases a glutton's desire. What this means, dear brothers and sisters, is that inside and outside of Ramadan, we should not allow our egos, our nufus, to fool us and say, allow me just one more haram desire, grant me this wish just one more time, and once I get what I want, then I will give it up. This is the trick of the ego, telling you, just engage in this haram thing one more time, one more bite, one more sin, one more view. That is a trap of the ego, dear brothers and sisters, because when you engage the nafs like that, it only increases it in desire. It's like when they say that you open a bag of chips, you can't just have one. You have to have a second, and then a third. And now you're craving more, and before you know it, half of the bag is empty. You ate them all. That is the nature of the nafs, the ego, dear brothers and sisters. We want to reach for more and more if we satisfy even one craving. Ibn Qayyim mentions in Al-Jawab Al-Kafi that a person, when they commit sins, it has many ill effects upon their soul. And one of the ill effects of sins is that one sin tends to beget another sin, because it increases the desire for another sin, either the same sin, more of the same, or a different sin, varieties of haram. That is one of the ill effects of sin. Going back to Imam al-Busiri, rahimahullah, after talking about the nafs and not satisfying its cravings, he says, النَّفْسُ كَالطِّفْلِ إِن تُهْلْمِلْهُ شَبَّ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ الرَّضَاعِ وَإِن تَفْطِمْهُ يَنْفَطِمِ. He says that the ego is like a child. If you neglect it, if you leave it on its own, it will grow up loving to suckle. But if you wean it, it will be weaned. What this means is that the ego is like a child, because both of them are feeble-minded, and both of them prefer their desires and getting their way over anything else. Once the young child has a craving, it will beg and plead and throw a tantrum until it gets what it wants. That is the nature of a young child. The child will grow up spoiled if you give in to the child's every desire. The only way to break that is to break the habits, to wean them from those things and develop them with discipline. A young child is likewise receptive to anything, and the young child doesn't really know the difference between what is good and what is evil. If it was up to a young child, for instance, it would choose to have ice cream and cake for dinner every single day. But parents do not allow that because they know better. Likewise, the ego, the nafs, if you don't wean it from the haram, it will remain in its childish ways. But if you wean it through discipline, it will be weaned. Now, alhamdulillah, Allah allowed us to live to see another Ramadan. And Ramadan is the obligatory weaning period for the nafs. But that is only if we apply the lessons of fasting in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. The reality is, we all struggle with different things. And sin is a bottomless pit. And you cannot fill that bottomless pit with more and more sin. The only thing that will fill that pit is gratitude to Allah Ta'ala, taqwa of Allah Ta'ala. Gratitude inverts sins. Because when you begin to appreciate more deeply the halal that Allah has given you, instead of demanding more and more and more, Allah Ta'ala will bless you with satisfaction with the halal, instead of pining after and seeking more of the haram. So Allah Ta'ala demands of us that we train ourselves in the month of Ramadan by avoiding the halal. And hopefully if we take the lessons of Ramadan in avoiding the halal for a limited amount of time, we will develop ourselves and discipline ourselves to hopefully better avoid the haram outside of Ramadan. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not allow us to lose those lessons after Ramadan. We ask Allah ta'ala to imprint those lessons in our soul after Ramadan throughout the rest of the year, and to accept from us and you our fasting and our prayer, and to forgive our shortcomings and failures to hold that standard in the month of Ramadan. May Allah accept from all of us and allow all of us to receive another Ramadan to try again and to try to do better and to be better. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان المتلازمان على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, the word Eid means that to which one returns. It comes from the Arabic, عَادَ يَعُودُ, to return. And Eid is an annual celebration of gratitude for being enabled by Allah Ta'ala to receive the month of Ramadan. But the ultimate Eid, the biggest Eid, the greatest Eid, is the Mi'ad, the ultimate return, the greatest return. And that is going to be the best Eid for any of us, the Eid, the reuniting through entering the doors of Jannah and being in the company of Al-Habib Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the month of Ramadan in the Quran, and He tells us that it was prescribed upon us as it was prescribed upon those before us, so that we may obtain taqwa. And then he says about this month of Ramadan that it is ayyaman ma'dudat. It is a limited number of days. We all have that sense of Ramadan starting a bit slowly for the first few days. And then 1 week into Ramadan, we find that we're now in the second week, and then the third week, and after that we're hugging each other on Eid al-Fitr. And we're saying to ourselves, Subhanallah, Ramadan went by so quickly. And that is because it did. As Allah says, أَيَّامًا مَعْبُدُدُدَاتِ. It's a limited number of days. And the lesson for us, dear brothers and sisters, is we have to take to heart that it is a limited number of days. Because we too have but a limited number of days in this world. Ramadan is a limited number of days. And our life in this world is but a limited number of days. Have you ever had a dream where it seems like you're journeying here and there and everywhere and experiencing so many things in your dream? It seems like it's going on for days even. But then you wake up and it feels like the blinking of an eye. It feels like it was nothing really. That is the reality of this life. That when we die and are resurrected, we on the day of judgment will look back on this life and it will feel just like the dreams that we have in this life. Very short time that we spent in this world. And that is the reality, dear brothers and sisters. Ayyaman ma'dudat, a limited number of days. In the month of Ramadan, we learned to get outside of our comfort zones. And any message of truth is going to demand that we get outside of our comfort zones. The false messages out there in the world will tell you that you are just fine the way you are. But the message of truth will demand more from you. The message of truth will demand that you go outside of your comfort zones. The standards of excellence given to us by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam should challenge us. They should push us. They should take us outside of our comfort zones. And when Islam is properly practiced, we learn that it's never about justifying remaining in our comfort zones. When Islam is properly practiced, it is never about putting a religious veneer over our bad habits and inclinations. It is to challenge us. It is to take us outside of our comfort zones because it demands more from us. But that more that it demands is what we actually can give. Because Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a soul more than it can bear. If fasting is true, if fasting is done truthfully and properly, it has to bring some internal change. It has to bring some change to our internal landscape. If there's no change whatsoever after Ramadan, if there's no increased attachment to Allah, if there's no sharper vision of what is possible in the path of taqwa, then something was definitely missing from our fasting. May Allah forgive us and pardon us. Now Ramadan is over, dear brothers and sisters, and we are returning to our routines. But hopefully we're not returning to bad routines. So let us not spiritually unravel and allow our material concerns to eclipse our spiritual concerns. One of the early Muslims, Bishr al-Hafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, was once asked about a people who only devote themselves to worship in the month of Ramadan. And he said about them, Bits al-Qawm, what a wretched folk they are. Those people who do not really know Allah except in the month of Ramadan. This means, dear brothers and sisters, that we cannot be Ramadani Muslims. What is a Ramadani Muslim? The Ramadani Muslim is the Muslim who only lives their Islam in the month of Ramadan. We cannot be Ramadani. We have to be Rabbani. Rabbani means lordly. It means the person who is Abdu Rabbi Ramadan. Abdu Rabbi Ramadan is the servant of the Lord of Ramadan. And if you are the servant of the Lord of Ramadan, you are also the servant of the Lord of Shawwal and every other month around the year. That is the reality, dear brothers and sisters. For Allah Ta'ala tells His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Lord until certainty comes to you. And certainty here means death. So we're not just worshiping Allah in Ramadan, we worship Him in Shawwal this month and every year until we leave this dunya and Allah is bi-ithnillah radin anna, pleased with us. May Allah Ta'ala make us among those who are truly successful, whose deeds are met with His approval and pleasure. May Allah accept from us and from you and the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and accept from us our fasting, our prayer, our recitation of the Quran, our charity, and give us the quality of gratitude for His endless blessings inside and outside of Ramadan. Our concern in this moment, in the month of Shawwal, is to take the lessons of Ramadan and move forward with them and not leave them behind in the month of Ramadan. And to beg Allah Ta'ala for His acceptance of our good deeds and His forgiveness of our shortcomings. That is the reality of worship, dear brothers and sisters. To have the twin qualities of gratitude for His blessings and also begging for His forgiveness and acceptance. That is the way of the early generations of Muslims. They would try to perfect their good deeds and then they would worry whether or not those good deeds were accepted by Allah Ta'ala. Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu anhu said, be more concerned with Allah's acceptance of your good deeds than the doing of the good deed itself. Because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّرُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from the people of taqwa. And Ibn Qayyim, whom we quoted earlier, says in the same work, Al-Jawab Al-Kafi, you should know, he says, that you are by nature deficient. As human beings, poverty and neediness is an intrinsic quality to us. Wasfun dhati. It is an intrinsic quality, deficiency. And therefore, he says, everything that comes from the deficient person is going to be deficient. And this requires that the servant seeks forgiveness. Therefore, he says, the servant should seek his Lord's forgiveness with regards to all of the good that he does, just as he should seek forgiveness with regards to the evil that he does. As for the evil, he says, this is zahir, it's apparent. As for the good, he says, the servant should seek Allah's forgiveness for the deficiencies in the good deeds. And he should not consider, she should not consider anything they have done of good to be so worthy of acceptance and presenting to the Lord of the worlds. So despite the good deeds Allah has blessed us with, we are apologetic and we seek forgiveness for our shortcomings. This is what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. After the five prayers, what is the first dua that you make? You say three times, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. I seek Allah's forgiveness, I seek Allah's forgiveness, I seek Allah's forgiveness. Are you seeking Allah's forgiveness for the act of praying salah? No. You're seeking Allah's forgiveness for the deficiencies, the inattention, and the wandering mind and heart in the salat itself. We don't present anything to Allah Ta'ala and think that this is so perfect and grand and beautiful. We present it humbly, recognizing it as a gift and acknowledging our own shortcomings. This is how Allah Ta'ala has praised those who are beloved to Him in the Quran. For He has said, describing the believers, those who give what they give, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ, and their hearts are full of fear. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to accept from us whatever He has given us of His gifts in the month of Ramadan, the acts of worship that He blessed us with, and to forgive our shortcomings, and to enable us to take the lessons of Ramadan to this month and the month after, and for the rest of the year, and to not make us Ramadani Muslims who only focus in Ramadan, and then lose that spirit in the month after. May Allah Ta'ala make us Rabbani and not Ramadani. Ameen. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana wa qina adhab al-nar. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, Zayn al-Mursaleen wal-Akhyar, wa akrama man azlama alayhi laylu wa ashraqa alayhi al-Nahar. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.